This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, April 21st. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. E15 gets strong support in California. Beijing threatens countermeasures and D.C.'s excellent day. Lawmakers double down on E15. Last year, Governor Gavin Newsom called a special legislative session to approve his bill targeting price spikes at the gas pump. The message behind the session, tackling the state's rising costs, resonated with Assemblymember Cotty Petrie Norris of Irvine. She pushed a measure to reduce fuel prices by approving E15 for use in California. Yet Senate President Pro Tem Mark McGuire stalled the bill, arguing the chamber needed a more thorough analysis of the issue and the bill needed more work. That apparently frustrated Newsom, who 2 weeks later directed the California Air Resources Board to accelerate its regulatory review of the E15 blend. Now lawmakers have fallen in lockstep behind the administration and a new bill proposing to authorize E15 if CARB fails to meet its summer deadline. AB 30 has cruised through its first committee hearing with nearly unanimous support, but since E15 is not compatible with small engines, boaters and boatmakers oppose the bill. The environmental group 350 Bay Area takes issue with the claim of reducing gas prices since ethanol is 50% less efficient than gasoline, requiring motors to buy 5% more to travel the same distance. A foot on the gas, one skeptical Democrat abstained from voting while a dozen other lawmakers back the bill. Meanwhile, CARB has put in a $2 million budget request in ongoing funding for E15 work. That could increase the bill's odds of getting through the fiscal gatekeepers of the Appropriations Committee next. Beijing warns U.S. against striking deals to sideline China. China's ramping up the tough talk even as uncertainty over U.S. trade policy continues amid the swoon in markets. A Chinese government spokesperson says that any U.S. effort to use trade deals to hamstring China's economic dealings will be met with countermeasures. The Wall Street Journal reported last week that the U.S. could use trade talks to isolate China and push third-party countries to limit Beijing's involvement in their economies. China, quote, will take countermeasures in a resolute and reciprocal manner if such a scenario occurs, a Chinese Commerce Ministry spokesperson told reporters yesterday. China is determined and capable of safeguarding its own rights and interests, they said. Take note, several countries on China's doorstep have already launched trade talks with the U.S. Japanese and Indonesian negotiators were in Washington last week, and South Korean officials are slated to meet with U.S. counterparts later this week. Meanwhile, China has sought to deepen trade relationships with its regional neighbors. During a recent tour of Southeast Asia, President Xi Jinping penned more than 100 cooperation agreements with the Vietnamese, Malaysian, and Cambodian governments. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. More than 30,000 eggs donated by American farmers were in the spotlight on the South Lawn at the White House Easter egg roll yesterday. This is the largest public event at the White House every year, American Egg Board CEO Emily Metz told AgriPulse. To have more than 40,000 people on the lawn celebrating with eggs and coming through the hen to home exhibit where they can talk to a real farmer and learn about how eggs get from the farm to the table. That's huge. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins visited the hen to home exhibit that begins with soybeans grown on a United Soybean Board past Chair Steve Reinhardt's Ohio farm as chicken feed. It ends up with a carton filling race. Beyond eggs, well, the International Fresh Produce Association displayed fresh cut flowers and allowed attendees to arrange their own bouquets and enjoy carrots. By the way, President Trump discussed trade and domestic consumption with the United Soybean Board members in the White House that ahead of the event. USB Chair Philip Good said the president was, quote, very optimistic about the industry's future. FDA, HHS expect to release plan on food dyes today. Leaders of the Food and Drug Administration and the Department of Health and Human Services expected today to announce the administration's plan to phase out the use of some synthetic dyes. Both HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and FDA Commissioner Martin McCary have been outspoken with the concerns about the presence of food dyes in the nation's food supply and their potential link to chronic health conditions. Already, the administration has said it would consider rulemaking to eliminate the self-affirmed, generally recognized as safe pathway for food ingredients and chemicals. Kennedy has also visited West Virginia and other states to celebrate their efforts to phase out certain food dyes and chemicals in school meals. We don't need synthetic dyes in the food supply, and no one will be harmed by their absence, said Peter Lurie, president and executive director at the Center for Science and the Public Interest, in a statement responding to the planned announcement. We will soon see how the government plans to proceed, but I expect that after discovering that they could survive in the European market without some of these dyes, the industry will choose not to die on this hill and risk offending a vindictive president. Plaintiffs claim IRA and BIL funding still frozen. Plaintiffs in a lawsuit against the USDA and four other agencies say some Inflation Reduction Act and bipartisan infrastructure law funds are still frozen, even though a judge ordered the money released. In a filing, the plaintiff organizations say that, to their knowledge, almost all the frozen grant funds mentioned in the suit are still inaccessible, with the exception of a grant from the National Park Service. The groups claim EPA has continued to say their grants are under review, while the Interior Department and USDA haven't provided written notification of the court's order to grantees. Take note, the judge directed parties to submit status reports by noon Wednesday, that according to the case docket. Here's today's final word. This is such a sensitive issue for ranchers and landowners that it took pretty much every bit of my 30 years of network building to get us access to land and cattle for this study. At Ken Tate, a UC Davis professor and cooperative extension specialist in rangeland sciences, on his new finding that a single wolf can lead to $162,000 in cattle losses. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, April 22nd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.